You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
All right, good morning, Napa Valley. You are listening to Farmers Fresh Hour, where we chat with growers, food experts, chefs, and more to get the stories behind the farms and the food. I am your host, Tia Butts. Welcome. This show is brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. And I am missing my usual co-host today, Chef Greg Cole. He's on vacation, figure that. I believe he's somewhere in Missouri, or as he pronounces it, Missouri. So unfortunately, we are missing him today, but I do have a very special guest. So drum roll, please, for our very special guest, which is, give a round of applause to Kara Mae Woolidge. Yay! I don't know if I've... My applause isn't working. I tried. I haven't quite figured this out. I think because I'm not putting the right thing in there. Oh, wait. Let's see. Let's try this. This is my first day on the board, people. So we're gonna try it. Applause. Oh, look at that. Success! Success! Local radio people, so you're going to have to roll with the punches with us today. So Kara Mae is not only part of our board, but she is also on the Farmers Market team. She is the assistant market manager and heads up all of our education programs. So Kara Mae, tell us a little bit more about that. Tell us about the educational programs and what's coming up, because this show, obviously, I should preface, is hosted by both the Napa Farmers Market and the St. Helena Farmers Market, and today it's the Napa team in the studio. So what's going to be happening in terms of educational programming?
So at the Napa Farmers Market, we have a lot of exciting things at the Education Station, which is always located next to the Farmers Market information booth. And every Tuesday and Saturday, we have two story times, one at 9:30 and one at 10:30. And that's when local volunteers, coordinated by Community Resources for Children, come and read some of their favorite stories to kids of all ages. And also parents get to take a little break. So it's a lot of good all around.
Awesome.
And specifically this Saturday, July 21st, we are doing a special taste test. And that's produce on offer is going to be plums. So what we do is we have different farmers market vendors donate their plums, and we put them all together so people can try the different varieties from the different farms in one place. And it's been a lot of fun. Kids and adults get to try it, and then we let them know where they can get more. And so plums is what's on offer this Saturday and next Tuesday. And then for the last two markets in July, we will have green beans.
Ooh, green beans. I love it. Well, when I was there on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, we were teaching. We were tasting, I believe, a little cherry tomatoes.
Yes, that's right. We had actually a head-to-head tomato taste test challenge. And Big Ranch Farms and Long Meadow Ranch Farms generously donated one of their baskets of the cherry tomatoes. So it was a one-for-one head-to-head challenge, and we had 50 people try each tomato, and the votes were in, and Long Meadow Ranch actually won the challenge, but most people said that it was very hard to decide, and really we're all winners with the great selection of local produce that we have growing right here in our backyard.
Love it. That's so awesome, and we're so happy that you're there, and it's the educational programs at the market are just, you know, something that I know our market goers really, really cherish and love. And I will say, I had the pleasure to help out and do story time on Tuesday and with Bok Bok Choy, mm-hmm. who I will say, if you haven't met Bok Bok Choy, you really need to go out of your way to do so. He's actually in studio, or she in studio with us as well today. And she is our market mascot.
That's right. Yes. And for those listeners out there, Some people have said, I thought it was a real chicken. Well, she's a real stuffed chicken, and she's a big, adorable, cartoon-like chicken. And she got her name from the farmer's market customers, actually. We put it to a vote, and Bok Bok was the popular vote, and then the market board decided to add Choy to promote vegetables. So hence
Perfect.
The name Bok Bok Choy.
Well, and I think, just between us, I think the station owner here, Will, is a little upset because his name didn't get chosen. But, that's
right.
Okay. I think he'll forgive us eventually.
That's
he lets us come on the air, so that's a good thing.
It's a good deal.
I also understand that we had a great Rethink Your Drink this past Tuesday. Why don't you tell everybody about that?
So Rethink Your Drink is a yearly campaign in July coordinated by the Live Healthy Napa County Healthy Bodies Coalition. And we partner with them, and the Napa Farmers Market hosted a spa water taste test challenge last Tuesday, July 17th. And so 9 local nonprofit organizations came to the market. They had a booth, and they provided samples of their spa water and also had information on their services. So for those of you who don't know, spa water is not from a hot tub.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes.
My goodness. That would be horrible.
It is what you might drink or sip when you're at a luxurious spa experience. And what you do is you add fresh fruit, vegetables, and herbs to infuse flavor in the water so that it's a delicious alternative to high-calorie beverages like soda or juice drinks. So we're promoting healthy options because we know that extra calories coming from drinks can really add up. So
absolutely.
To stay hydrated and healthy and enjoy water, because let's face it, water can be really boring.
And yes, absolutely. And the one that won just looked phenomenal. I didn't get to taste it, but it was some kind of tropical concoction, right?
That's right. Actually, you can inform me. I was too busy at the education station, I didn't know who won. Is it from one?
Actually, I do have the winner. It was Child Start. They were the organization
cool.
that had created the spa water, and it was called Tropical Refresher Spa Water. And I believe we'll be sharing that recipe on our Farmers Market newsletter if you haven't had a chance yet to sign up for that.
That's right. You can check out our newsletter at napafarmersmarket.org. There is a link at the top to sign up with your email. So it's a weekly Monday newsletter that has amazing information about what's going to be happening at the market that week, which vendors you can see. And we will be including the recipe of the winner and just some fun pictures and inspiration to make your own spa water at home.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's go ahead and preview who's going to be on our show today. I will say you're going to meet our guests very soon because this show is all about meat. We have a lot of great meat and egg purveyors at the market, and we'll get into that pretty soon. But I believe shortly, Farmer Joy, I apologize. I'll ask her when she calls in if it's Dolcini or Dolcini. Do you know?
I do not.
Okay, we'll find out. She brings her grass-fed beef and pasteurized pork from Marin County, as well as chicken and amazing duck eggs, if you weren't aware of that.
Wow.
Really fancy. So we're going to hear a little bit more about their farming practices when we return. So stay tuned. All right. Welcome back. You are here on Farmer's Fresh Hour with Tia Butts and Kara Mae Woolwich. And I believe we have on the line with us, we may have Farmer Joy. Farmer Joy, are you on the line? Oh, beautiful. All right. Let's pump you up so we can hear you a little bit better.
Okay.
Thanks so much for joining the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we welcome you. I was giving a little bit of information about you and your farm and the things that you're producing there before we went to commercial break.
Okay.
But I'd love for you to tell us a bit about your history, because I believe you are farming, you're the sixth generation in West Marin, is that correct?
Yes, we are.
All right, well, tell us a little bit more about your history and how you began farming.
Well, I personally had farmed when I was a kid. When I grew up, we had a little acre and a quarter, and we raised almost every animal you can imagine. And then I married into a large family that has a history of farming. So we started when I married in, we were had a dairy. And then my husband and I started doing beef animals. And then the kids, when they were little, they decided they wanted some chickens. So we got some chickens. And it all kind of snowballed from there. This is not what I had planned to do. It just kind of happened by accident. So now we've got about 1,000 birds between ducks and chickens. We keep anywhere from, 10 to 20 pigs. And right now we've got about 40 cows.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, how long have you been raising cattle? You said over 20 years?
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing the ducks, chickens, and pigs?
Off and on for like the past 10 years.
Okay,
We started with the chickens about 10 years ago, and then I think about 8 years ago we added the pigs, and I have no idea when the ducks started.
Wow, that's amazing. So what do you feed these animals? What is it like? Obviously, grass-fed beef, that's kind of self-explanatory,
yeah.
But can you go into a little more detail about what really grows fantastic meat animals?
We like to think it's a combination of lots of different feeds and a lot of love. We're not really sure how it's all happening, but everything ends up great. We're constantly seeking out new and exciting feed sources. The cows themselves, they eat whatever grass is available, but then we also do have to supplement with, baled grasses because we live where we live and there's not anything green growing most of the year. The pigs themselves, they get a mix of grains from the local, Hunt and Barron's granary.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get some distilled grains that are organic from a distillery. We pick up leftover bread from a bakery. We get vegetables from a grocery store. Right now, we're just about to start planting pumpkins, so we can feed them pumpkins in the fall, and those will last until the spring.
Oh, boy, pumpkins.
Yeah, they love them.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, you hear sometimes about, pigs being fed acorns and things like that. So what does this kind of, mixed diet do for the pigs?
I think it just gives them a more flavorful meat because they get a little bit of everything. I think when you feed them just one thing, it ends up a little bit bland, but this way they're getting a variety. Like when we get into the fall, we'll go and we'll harvest apples and pears that are left rotting under trees, and they love to eat those.
Boy, that's sustainability at its best, right?
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
The circle of life.
Yes.
So, Joy, I have a question. What is the difference between duck eggs and chicken eggs? Because I have to say I'm a little intimidated by duck eggs, so I should learn some more.
Yeah, a lot of people are, and it's kind of surprising. Duck eggs have less water than chicken eggs, so you get more fat and more protein.
Oh,
interesting.
And then they have a significantly larger yolk. And then even the white has a lot more protein than a chicken egg white does. But nutrition-wise, they're about the equivalent of 2 chicken eggs. Like if you had a large duck egg, it would be the equivalent of 2 of the same size chicken eggs.
And compared to the size of chicken eggs, how big are duck eggs usually?
Most of my chicken eggs run large to extra large, but duck eggs are definitely jumbo. And there's really no size above jumbo, so I couldn't say they're jumbo and super jumbo, but yeah, you really have to cram them in the carton sometimes.
All right.
Love it. Now, speaking of that, too, you told us the difference, but what about cooking times? Like, do you have to cook them, for different lengths if, the duck eggs are so much bigger?
I think when you're hard boiling, you just add another minute or two. But when you're cooking them, over easy or something, it doesn't take that much longer. I think the yolks cook a little bit faster with the duck eggs because there's less water, so they just cook up faster.
That's great. And do they have a different flavor than chicken eggs?
It's a similar flavor to chicken eggs, just stronger.
Okay. Fantastic.
Interesting. Do you have a favorite recipe using duck eggs?
I love to make egg salad with duck eggs. I love the color of it. It's super orange and really flavorful. And that's really good. Anytime I make a frittata or a quiche, it's always duck eggs. Duck eggs are the preferred egg for baking. So, anytime we bake something, it's always duck eggs. But in our house, it's almost always duck eggs anyway.
I love it.
So you're team duck eggs. Bok Bok Choy is a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Her egg-laying days are long over, so.
Yes, she's in retirement. She's or menopause, one of the
yeah.
other.
Right.
so we touched on the beef and pork a little bit about that. What should someone look for when they're selecting a piece of beef or pork, and can you go into some of the cuts that are available at the market?
I think people need to just look at, just make sure it has a nice color to it. You know, a lot of the beef, like we only sell frozen, so you just want to make sure that the package you're looking at is vacuum sealed. Any beef that we end up that has a little hole in it or something, that comes out and we get to eat that. But I don't like the way that looks, and it can get a little freezer burned, and you don't want to do that to your meat.
Sure.
You just want to look for a nice color, you know, and everyone has a different idea of how much fat they want in their meat. So a lot of times you can see, especially in the pork, you can see where the fat layer is. We do grass-fed beef, so it's a little bit leaner, so you're not going to see lots of marbling in there. You're just going to get some real, I guess, kind of maroonish colored meat. It looks really good.
So that's great to let us know that your meat is frozen. Do you have any recommendations for storage and defrosting? Because, you know, it'd be really a shame if someone bought a wonderful piece of meat, but then something went wrong in the cooking process.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I personally have no problem leaving it out on the counter. I know that's not recommended. So everyone do what they need to do. But often if I'm in a hurry, I can just put a little bit of warm water in the sink. And, you know, if I have a steak or two I need to drop in there, they defrost really fast that way. And then you don't get any kind of semi-cooked parts like if you would defrost it in the microwave.
That's great.
So a sink of warm water does wonders.
Thanks for all those tips, Joy. You know, I noticed on your Instagram, people should, I believe it was on your Instagram, if people aren't following you, they should definitely look for you. But you had picked a nice piece of pork and I believe used the Ohm Coffee Roasters coffee rub on it. And we have Derek from Ohm coming in to talk about that. How did it turn out?
It was so good. So good. Yeah, that is an amazing rub.
That oh, good.
Really, really good. That coffee flavor really could come through, but not be overpowering. So yummy. I made a homemade barbecue sauce to then put on top of that, and I threw it all in my smoker.
Ooh, that wow. sounds delicious.
And that's what Napa Farmers Market is all about, bringing together the best produce, the best meat and protein, and also the spice of life from
exactly.
our own Ohm Roasters Coffee Company.
Well, Joy, thank you so much for being on the show. I always wish we had longer to talk to our guests,
yeah.
but we have to keep moving. So we appreciate you calling in this morning, and I've learned so much already. I'm feeling a little less intimidated by duck eggs in particular.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. All right. So everyone take a look out for Farmer Joy at the Napa Farmers Market. When we come back, our next guest will be here with us. He graduated from the Culinary Academy in 2003. His name is Chef Ted, and he is with Sticky Business Barbecue. So more on the meat show when we come back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We are here with Farmers Fresh Hour on KVON 1440 AM, which is brought to you by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. We have our next guest in the studio, Ted Romero. He is the owner of Sticky Business Barbecue. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing great.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here. And I'm sort of fumbling through the show this morning trying to learn this board, but I think so far so good.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. It's been an adventure, I'll say.
Better than if I were sitting back there, because who knows what would be happening. I think Bafok might have more talent.
Well, thank you. And thank you to all the listeners out there who are being so patient with me this morning. So I'm going to brag a little bit about Chef Ted. He worked at some of the best restaurants in Northern California, from Town Hall in San Francisco to Julia's Kitchen in Napa. Most recently was part of the opening team at the Bartisono Hotel and Spa in Yountville.
Wow.
And through all those changes at the property, you know, he was always a constant presence in the kitchen and won some awards while he was there as well. And then in 2016, you decided to pursue your passion for barbecue. Is that correct?
Correct.
Wonderful. So,
glad you did.
Yeah, and boy, are we glad you did, because if you've ever, you know, popped by a Sticky Business or just walked by them and smelled all the smoky goodness wafting from their booth, you'll be really glad that Chef Todd did too. So tell us what you did. Why barbecue? How did this get started? You know, how'd you go down that path?
So previously, I was a pastry chef.
Ooh. So, oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. So from flour, butter, sugar to blood and guts, I guess.
Definitely one way to put it.
That's a shift.
Yeah, so I was a pastry chef prior to starting barbecue. But, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, you get around the barbecue pit in the backyard with your, you know, family or friends or whatever it is, and it's always like a gathering place.
Right.
Barbecue is always one of those things where just brings people together. Everybody gets to share stories and hear new stories and make new friends and things like that. And so for me, it was going from that idea of, you know, dessert and pastry, where it's something that takes you back to a memory. That's how I like to used to play my desserts, was it was always bring you back to something. Barbecue kind of does the same for me. It's one of those things where it takes you back to, oh, man, you remember that time we did such and such with grandma and grandpa?
Or yeah,
we
good
did
memories.
This, you know? So it's kind of one of the reasons why I just decided to turn around and go in a different direction with my culinary career, and I'm glad that I did.
That's awesome.
Wonderful.
We are, too.
That's fantastic. Cool that you mentioned the memories, because really that's part of our brain science, is that we store our memories and associate them with flavors. So
Absolutely. You
can do a lot with that.
Absolutely. So what did you have to do to learn how to become a barbecue pit master, basically?
Still learning process. Everything's a learning process.
Yeah.
What I did was, you know, I've been working with a lot of great chefs throughout my career, whether they're pastry chefs or savory chefs. So, you know, you always learn something in a kitchen. And the whole barbecue process, it was, you know, just always going out, trying and tasting. And then a friend of mine, Alfredo, he was our chef de cuisine at Lucy. He and I both went to Austin, Texas and did a pitmaster class out there. So did that with Style Switch with Lance Kirkpatrick, which is one of the hands down, to me, it was one of the best barbecue joints in Texas outside of Franklin.
Yeah, that's
others,
maybe the most famous, but not necessarily
right.
The only one there. Yeah,
I mean, Style Switch does a great job with their stuff. And we went out there. We did a class with Lance. It basically started from 6 to 3 or 4 in the afternoon. You just kind of went, learned the ropes. But we ate around at all different places and tried different things and flavors. And, you know, it's funny because we're out there and we're just throwing ideas back and forth. And we got home and it was like, all right, this is what I want to do. Like, that was the tipping point to push me towards it. My wife is like, are you going to do it?
It lit a fire, so to speak.
Exactly.
Ba-dum-bum.
It lit a fire.
I can understand after eating all that delicious barbecue. I know when I go to the South, it's crazy. It's just everything you want to taste and try. So
absolutely. And
somehow you make room for it.
Right. And each region has different barbecue.
Right.
You know, Texas barbecue isn't the same as in
North
Carolina
or
Kansas City or yeah. Memphis. They're all different. So they all have their own little thing. And that's kind of what I tried to do, as I tried to bring those styles back to California.
Sure.
And do my version of barbecue. We have a Central Texas theme going with it, but it's just Barrio barbecue.
So most people don't understand the difference between grilling and barbecue. They tend to use those phrases synonymously.
Sure.
But if you're a real barbecue aficionado, I know most of them get quite upset when they hear people saying, you know, I'm going to barbecue, but they aren't really talking about barbecue per se. So can you explain that difference to all of us?
So from what I understand, barbecue and grilling are completely different. Grilling is over fire. It's what most people do in their backyards. It's the Weber kettle with the hot fire going, and you're searing a piece of meat quickly, hot and fast. Barbecuing or smoking is a slower method where it's traditionally done with wood, whether it's oak or cherry or apple or pecan or almond, and it's done for a long process. For us, we do our briskets for anywhere from 10 to 16 hours, depending on the size of the brisket. Same thing with our pork shoulders, and our ribs go for 6 to 7 hours. In a backyard, you can throw your ribs on and have them off in, you know, 2 hours. It's been a long time since I've used the Weber, and most of the time I use it now, I burn everything that's on it. So wife's like, hey, stop doing that.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of time and a lot of love that you put into your meat. So
it is. It's a labor of love. You know, it's one of those things where you just got to be out there. And we have a stick burner, so it's a barrel smoker with a firebox on the side. So it's a long process. You're constantly, it's like babysitting.
So tell us about that. So, you know, when people go to your booth and they're smelling all that greatness, like what's actually happening there?
So at the farmer's market, we do brisket, ribs, our yard bird, which is a chicken. So I grew up in Vallejo.
Mm-hmm.
We live in Napa now, but in
Vallejo.
Shout out to Vallejo.
So there was a hardware store called Yardbirds.
Mm.
And so when we started the barbecue thing, I was like, oh, well, I'll just call our chicken Yardbird, because that kind of one of those throwback to a memory type thing. So we do our yard bird. We do that on site. We brine it overnight in a citrus beer that we actually teamed up with a brewery in Oakland that we're using their beer to brine our chicken.
Bay Area twist.
There you go. And then we do a citrus rub on top of that. The citrus rub is one that I used in a competition where I took second place for the citrus chicken that I did. So we smoke that on site. Everything else is getting a light heat, reheat on it, and then we're going for there. We'll do our sausages on site, and if we're running low on something, we'll throw some extra ribs on and try to get stuff going. But that's what you're seeing. Mr. Marcellus Wallace is there using smoke.
And sorry, maybe you said this and I missed it. What's the wood that you're using?
We use oak wood.
Okay, and why is that? Why oak?
To me, it's a nice flavor. It's not mesquite where you get that really hard smoke. Mm-hmm. It's not a sweeter apple or cherry wood. But oak is just a nice, subtle flavor to me.
That's fantastic. So what is the number one tip you could give anyone at home on how to make great barbecue?
It's a great question. Great barbecue is time. Mm-hmm. It's time.
Patience.
It's patience. Right. It's meat, fire, and flavor. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where you get a nice cut of meat. It doesn't have to be Wagyu. It can be a prime or it can be a choice meat. But it comes down to the time and the love that you put into it.
Do you need special equipment?
I don't use any tricky gadgets. Okay. A thermometer or temperature probe, those are always handy. But competitions guys use all kinds of things. Use little blowers that keep the temperature going properly and all this and all that. And you can use all that stuff. Most people don't have it.
Right.
So it's just one of those love things.
How about this? Is there a quick and easy, like, sort of cheat to create that smoky flavor at home?
You can. If you're using a Weber, you can buy those little wood chips, and you mm-hmm. can drop those wood chips onto your charcoals, and you can permeate your meat a little bit and get a little smoke in there. After a certain temperature, from what I understand, meat does not take on any more smoke. Yeah. I think that's 160 is about the temperature that it just stops collecting
that's
more smoke.
That's good to know. I didn't know that, because I would have thought you could maybe over-smoke.
I think the easiest way to get barbecue is to stop by the farmer's market, get some from Sticky Business, and then take it home and pass it off as your own.
That's a great idea.
I totally agree.
That is a great idea.
I totally agree. So on that note, what is your best seller at the Napa Farmer's Market, or what are your most popular items?
At the farmer's market, I would say our ribs are probably the most popular item, along with our collard greens.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that come and
buy vegetables.
Yeah, vegetables. People come and they buy 6-7 containers of collard greens at one time, or they'll buy a couple racks of ribs. I think a lot of what Napa folks do, and the folks at the farmer's market, because we did American Canyon last year, so we got a lot of those guys that come over to Napa, and they'll buy their meals for the evening. And in American Canyon, it was they will come buy their Sunday supper.
Yeah.
In Napa, I think people come and they'll buy a pound of brisket, a rack of ribs, and they'll just kind of get their meal for that night, so they're not cooking, like you said.
That's right. And what makes your collard greens so special? You don't mind sharing.
So our collard greens, we use, we do bacon in there. It's
bacon.
Of course. This is the meat show, people, you know.
It's bacon. It's bacon and vegetables. I mean, it just makes it taste better.
Yeah.
But we use red pepper flakes in there, and we also do chard. Most people don't use chard, but I do. I like the little color difference from the green and the red. Yeah. So I use the red chard.
Mm-hmm.
And it just adds a different little color variance, you know, one of those things for your eye. I think that's really just kind of what makes it a little different.
That's fantastic.
Do you cook it on the barbecue?
No.
Okay.
That's great.
That would be incredible.
Well, you are at the farmer's market on the regular, so we look forward to having you there for the whole season, and we hope if you haven't tried Sticky Business that you'll definitely go by. You did a mashup of sorts with one of our other vendors, Toasted Bagels, this year. That was like this cool pastrami and rye bagel, or like a rye bagel with your pastrami on it. Is that right?
Right. We smoked the pastrami. We did. We utilized her rye bagel. We did a little, it was like a spicy brown mustard, really throwback to New York-ish style. You know, from what I understand, she's from New York.
Incredible.
Pastrami's that kind of that New York-ish type thing. So
absolutely.
I think it worked out fairly well.
It looked delicious. I didn't get to try it that week. But are you planning anything like that in the future, or any other mashups?
This week, I believe, trying to think what I have on the smoker. This week we're doing a Pitmaster sandwich. I can't remember if it's going to be here or if it's going to be in Oakland.
Okay.
But it's our brisket, pulled pork, Hawaiian sausage, coleslaw on a brioche style bun.
Wow. So the ultimate barbecue mashup.
Yes.
Sounds wonderful. Well, Ted, thank you. You are truly a barbecue master. One real quick before we let you go, are you going to be doing any competitions coming up? Do you participate in competitions?
I do, and we got asked to do one, and it's I forget the date of it, but it's going to be against another barbecue company that that we met when the whole fire thing was happening. We helped out with that, Woodhouse Barbecue.
Oh yes, okay.
Against Vince. He's a good buddy of ours now, and it's a good little trash talking thing that's going on.
Healthy competition.
Absolutely.
You have to keep us posted on when that is, because you know, maybe we can get a little support going for you
there
from
you
the farmers market crowd.
That'd be great.
Fantastic. So thank you again. We appreciate you. And coming up shortly here, we're going to be bringing in Derek Bromley. He's the owner of Ohm Coffee Roasters, and he is also on our board of directors for the farmers market. But he has created an amazing coffee rub. So the meat show will continue with the Napa Farmers Market in just a moment. Welcome back. You are listening to Farmers Fresh Hour, where we chat with growers, food experts, chefs, and more to get all the stories behind the farms and the food. I am Tia Butts with my co-host, Kara May.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in.
Exactly. And we have been talking all about meat, because we have some amazing meat and egg purveyors at the market. And while we've interviewed a couple of those people today, there are many, many more. Kara May, you want to tell us about those?
Sure. We have so much going on at the market. And another vendor who sells chicken and I believe eggs, right? Am I right?
Yes, which one?
A4 Farms.
Oh, yes, A4.
So we have two vendors to choose from there. Another local favorite is Long Meadow Ranch, which also brings beef, lamb, and their pasture raised on our organic pastures. And they have a great selection of vegetables, too. And like I said, they went head-to-head against Big Ranch Farms with the Cherry Tomato Taste Test Challenge.
Yes, fantastic.
They did win a little bit, so.
Laddie with Long Meadow Ranch was actually on this program last week with the St. Helena Farmers Market and talked a little bit more in depth about their farm. So if that's something you'd be interested in hearing more about, you can find the saved podcasts of all these shows on the KVON website.
That's right. And to another type of meat is from Freshway Fish. They have an incredible selection of fish that you can take home to cook or grill. And they also have my favorite, which is the spicy poke.
Ooh.
Which I have to go and get early because they always sell out.
Yeah. No, their fish is incredible. Yeah, great texture. All right. Awesome. Thank you for taking us through those. And welcome, Derek Bromley.
Thank you, Tia. Glad to be here.
So Derek is one of our Napa Farmers Market board members, and he is also a vendor with Ohm Coffee Roasters. So good to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Did you drive the coffee van here?
You know what? I just dropped the coffee truck off at the mechanic, or I would have been here with cappuccinos and lattes for everyone.
Oh, yeah. No coffee. I mean, we should have, ribbed. Pun intended. Ted, a little about not bringing samples. Like I should have been clearer about that. Like, where were the samples today, so we could do a little taste testing?
I know I brought the sample, but it's just the beans. That doesn't do us much good here.
Yeah,
in the
we can smell the beans.
That's true.
I guess
better.
You know, we could do it. Oh no, you might not be able to. Kara May is a little stuffed up today. Okay, so give us the down low on Ohm. Give us a little background in brief on Ohm.
Sure thing. Well, as you know, Tia, I came out of the wine business. You and I worked together, what, 15 years ago or so at this point? It's
now you're
amazing
yes.
how quickly
don't
that
tell
goes.
Anyone how long.
But I've spent my career in and around the food and wine business. I've been a sommelier. I've worked sales and marketing for wineries and sort of rose to the point in the wine business where I was sort of looking at general manager positions, looking at potentially starting my own thing. But as you well know, in the wine business, it's really hard to do that on your own dime unless you've saved up a pretty big nest egg.
Yes,
and you need to plan to spend a lot of that nest egg for the first few years of getting your production up and running and everything else before you're actually in business.
You have to spend money to make money.
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
Best way to turn a big fortune into a small one, right?
Exactly.
Go in the wine business.
Exactly.
Well, I have to give you props, Derek, because before I worked for the farmers market, I actually met you and your staff when you drove over to the Napa County Emergency Operations Center.
That's right, during the fires.
And it's located out in the middle of nowhere, so we were really looking forward to the time you would come so we could get some delicious coffee. So we appreciate your support.
It was a long few weeks there, but
it was an amazing thing to be a part of.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and our last guest, Ted, was saying that he met another barbecue master during the fires, and that was one thing. Our community really comes together in times of need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for pointing that out. That's so true. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Love
thing.
It.
So, yeah, I'd come out of the wine business and was looking at what my next career move would be. And I'd been a coffee nut for, I don't know, a decade or two before that. It was a super romantic thing. I bought my wife for our, or myself as well, selfishly. But
yeah, I love it when you get a gift that really is for you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
our wedding gift was an espresso machine back over 10 years ago now. And so I started teaching myself how to do it, to make cappuccinos and espressos. And next thing I knew, I had paid the thing off within a year or so with the money I had saved from not going out and buying my cappuccinos, you know, out at the local, at the time, you know, the local cafes, before the big third wave movement had come, before these Blue Bottles and Rituals and all these guys that actually took coffee and elevated it up to something akin to what I was doing in fine wine. You know, before I had sort of assumed there was a cappuccino, maybe some were better in restaurants, some were not as good in airports, and, you know, that was sort of the world of it. And then I had my first Blue Bottle cappuccino back in 2004. And at the time, I was working for a winery that was selling, you know, $70 to $100 bottles of Pinot Noir. And that was the first time I realized, wow, like coffee can actually achieve this higher level than that generic, you know,
thing with
the foam on top of it.
So is Blue Bottle a brand?
Yes,
Blue Bottle
is
a brand of coffee, yes.
For those who might not know, like me. So
Yeah, yeah. And they started down in San Francisco. I used to live just not too far from them. So I would buy my beans twice a week. I'd go down and get a little 8-ounce bag that had been roasted within, I don't know, 48 hours of me picking it off the shelf. So I got so spoiled drinking this uber fresh coffee and making it myself on my little espresso machine. Then I moved back up to Napa, and you didn't really have the same access to good coffee up here.
There was a gap in the market.
That's right. Started doing home roasting. I actually started off on a popcorn popper, believe it or not.
Ooh.
And, you know, a little 2-3 ounces at a time.
Wow. Innovation.
That's right. Grew up to a perforated sheet pan in the oven, which the family didn't love so much because the kitchen would get just kind of overwhelmed with smoke.
Yeah.
and then kind of took it to the next level to an actual proper sample roaster, took some roasting classes, and then ultimately ended up hiring the former head of production for Blue Bottle as my consultant.
Wonderful.
To help me basically, you know, I had the brief in my mind of what I wanted to do, and then he helped me kind of bring it to life with assembling blends and whatnot.
That's great. Fantastic. Well, we need to have you back when it's like National Coffee Day, which I know is
not too far from now.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Pretty much, you know, I rely on National Coffee every day. But yes, I think that's coming up in August. So we'll have to talk more coffee specifics then. But let's get into your rub.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us about that, because, you know, people might not think of coffee and meat going together. But
yeah,
you know,
that's
tell
right.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, so I've been a food and wine guy my entire career. And I've, along with home coffee enthusiasm, I've always had a home grilling affliction as well. So I've made a number of different rubs. I've sort of experimented with other people's, but this idea of a coffee rub kind of came to me as I was looking at the flavor profiles of different rubs that were out there. And there's sort of a real nice baseline umami, you know, low note that you can get with coffee that, you know, with a complement of other spices really will work well with a range of meats. Typically, your pork rubs are a little bit different than your steak or your beef rubs. This one I was blending together really to be versatile and to work well with a range of different
meat. So hand it over here. I'm going to give it a little sniff, and maybe while I'm taking a whiff, you can tell people, well, without giving away too many trade secrets, but, you know, what this is made of.
You'll see on the ingredients, I list the first three or four of them, and then the rest is spices. So there's a proprietary blend that's going on in there.
Well, of course, but I definitely, the coffee definitely comes through as,
yes,
like, the first note.
I can smell
you can smell it?
Yeah.
The base is my half-stack decaf coffee, because actually, as I was first experimenting with the rub, I realized I was getting a buzz off of dinner, and that doesn't work so well. You know.
I think they have support groups for that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, tossing and turning at 2 a.m., uh-huh. trying to get myself to sleep. I realized maybe decaf is a better route to go with this. So you can still get the coffee flavor. So I use my decaf and ancho chili powder as the base of it. And then I've got sort of a range of classic kind of paprika, brown sugar, some other various and sundry spices in there. But I love it on grilled steaks. It works well on brisket in particular. Works really well, which is a long, slow cook. You get this dark crust on the outside. And the coffee really kind of works well with that flavor profile.
That sounds wonderful. Well, we had Farmer Joy on earlier, and Joy had put it on a piece of her pork and said that it was just amazing. So she gave you big props for the rub.
That's right.
Thank you, Farmer Joy.
Yeah, exactly. So I understand, too, you recently wrote a column for the Napa Register, the Napa Valley Register.
That's right.
That was about grilling.
That's
and,
right.
And since this is the meat show, why don't you touch on, you dispelled some myths about grilling.
Yep, that's right. So I had been grilling for, I don't know, 20, 30 years before I happened across a different method of preparation. It's a website, AmazingRibs.com. This guy, Meathead Goldwyn, he's this total grill geek, kind of like what I am with coffee. But he brings scientists and actually runs experiments and looks at what gives better moisture, better crust, or all these different parameters and whatnot. And he kind of blew my brain up about the idea of grilling. You know, traditionally, you put a steak on a grill, you flip it once, you know, midway through, and you end up, you know, you pull it off at your required temperature. But what you actually end up with is a band of, you know, your meat ends up being well done near the surface, then medium well, then medium. And if you're going for a medium rare, you might have this little sliver of medium rare in the middle of the steak. But you've got all these other flavor doneness temperatures that are happening as well. So the technique it took a while to perfect, but flip often. So flip every 60 seconds. That way there's not enough time for the heat to work its way into the center of the meat and you don't end up with that bang.
Interesting. Yeah.
So ideally you end up with just a crust on the outside and then that medium rare going all the way to the edge of the meat.
Which I don't know about you guys, but when I'm having, you know, a grilled piece of meat, I do love that little almost crunchy texture that you get on the outside, you know, but then you have that moist sort of tender center, which
that's
is really
right.
delicious.
That's right. Your fats sort of gelatinize it, just that, you know, that texture thing that's happening. But really that umami is coming. There's that great flavor on the crust that's coming from caramelization and Maillard browning and all these kind of reactions that are happening. You want that without getting the char.
Right.
That's the other thing that typically happens is people kind of get their cross hatches on the surface of the steak. That's what you see in all the beauty shots of steak. You see the cross hatching. But those cross hatches are actually char. So
right.
you've burnt the steak where you see the cross hatch, and then you've got this kind of gray medium rare in between. What I try to go for is an even brown crust all the way uniformly across the surface of the meat itself. That's going to give you much better flavor.
Right. And when people are using your rub,
mm-hmm.
what's the best application? Like how long should the piece of meat sit with the rub, I guess? Should it be overnight for the best results? Should it be just 30 minutes before?
Should you use Swedish massage techniques.
Right, exactly. I mean, people are talking about massaging kale even now. So, yeah, there's definitely some massaging going on. Yeah.
That's right. Well, there is the Wagyu and the, you know, Kobe and all of that where the live cow gets massaged beforehand. But so I actually put the rub on fairly soon before it goes on the grill. There is, for tri-tip actually in particular, is one cut where I do a not really a rub, but kind of a seasoning with salt ahead of time. So you kind of get your tri-tip out, you dry it all off with paper towels and cover the whole thing with a layer of salt first. That's going to help to kind of tenderize and draw out some of the moisture, and then I'll put the rub on right before it goes onto the grill. So I made this rub specifically with a little bit lower salt content. Typically, a rub is like a one-stop thing where it's like you put it on and it's salted properly. I would actually, I wanted to be able to do that salt cure ahead of time as well. That's a good technique to kind of go ahead of time for a cut like a tri-tip.
Also probably a healthier option because it gives folks a little more control over how much sodium they're putting on. I mean,
that's right.
I prefer, you know, like sea level, you know, seawater level salinity, but, you know, some people might not share that same taste.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Derek. Again, this is fantastic. I can't wait to try this on a piece of meat, and I hope that everyone will come by and visit you. And you're selling some other products at the farmer's market, obviously the coffee drinks, but
that's
what else?
That's right. We sell our beans as well, so 12-ounce bags of beans. We have the rub at the truck as well as online at omcoffee.com. And we'd love to see all the listeners out at the Napa Farmers Market this Saturday.
And I was hoping I could play a little tidbit of Derek riffing on the guitar, because if many of you aren't aware, he's an amazing guitarist. He's part of a band with his wife called N2L Band. And I understand you can catch them coming up in a few days. Is that correct?
That's right. We're doing a free concert tomorrow night at Veterans Park. We'll be headlining Napa City Nights. My band will be on from 8:15 to 10, but there'll be two other bands earlier, Mr. Completely and Amber Snyder before that.
Wow. So is there anything you don't do, Derek? Dishes?
I try to avoid the dishes. Toilets, my wife would say.
Yeah, we're trying to see if we can get a Sweet Child of Mine going here, you know, Derek's guitar playing, but I don't think the technology is going to cooperate. Oh, wait, listen to this. Here we go.
Yay.
Wow, I'm impressed, Derek.
Thanks, Tia.
Amazing. All right, so you can catch that live tomorrow if you want to.
Come on out tomorrow night, 8:15 to 10 for the N2L band. Bring a blanket, bring a glass of wine, and a beautiful sunset in the park with live music.
Love it. Well, this has been a fantastic show, but I want to touch on something else related to the market before we have to go. And Kara May, there's an event coming up that we are going to be a part of as the Napa Farmers Market. Do you want to talk about that?
Of course. So we at the Napa Farmers Market are very honored to be a part of the annual Dia de Familia celebration organized by the Napa Valley Grape Growers. And that's taking place this Sunday from 1 to 3:30 on Napa Street between Main and Yohome. It's actually outside of St. John's, the Catholic Church. And this event is organized for farm workers and their families to come to one place to see all different types of community services and programs available to them. There's going to be dancing and a taco lunch, which I'm super excited about.
Ooh, tacos.
So we're excited to be there. And one of the things we want to do is make sure that everyone knows when the farmers market is and where it is. And that, of course, is Tuesdays and Saturdays from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the South Century Center parking lot, which is, oh my goodness, 195 Galveston?
Yes. Yay! Bravo!
They can bring their EBT card to our information booth, and once they swipe, they actually get double the tokens that they can spend at the market. So dollar for dollar, they can use a lot more at the Napa Farmers Market. It's just going to be a lot of fun, and we love being out in the community and hearing from folks about how we could improve our market to make it even better.
Fantastic. And if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, we mentioned that earlier, you can find that at NapaFarmersMarket.org. That's our website. There's a lot of great information on there. Mm-hmm. And also on social media, you can find us on Facebook, or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. And the Twitter and Instagram handles specifically are at NapaFarmersMKT. So at Napa Farmers MKT.
And I'll give an additional plug for the newsletter. Obviously, I'm a little biased because I help write it with Sherry, one of our board members. But I've worked with newsletters before, and I have to say, and folks have told us, it's a really great newsletter because it's useful. Exactly. It comes out every Monday, and we include who's going to be at the market that week, what events are happening, and anything else folks need to know. So we just need your email address. We promise we won't spam you, and we'll send it out every Monday with lots of good, fresh farmers market information.
And great recipes.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So you definitely don't want to miss out on that. Finally, want to give a last plug to our fantastic sponsors, because they are the ones that are making this show possible for you. It's Farmers Fresh Hour. We are brought to you by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. Next week, you're going to have the St. Helena Farmers Market team here talking about some of the great vendors. Some of them we actually share.
That's right.
But yeah, so some of them unique to them as well. And then we'll be back the following week after that. It's we're going to be prepping for our next show for National Farmers Market Week.
Very exciting.
Which is in early August. So that's going to be super exciting. And we're going to have some really special guests on for that show from the Farmers Market Council, the National Farmers Market Council. Yeah, so it should be really great. So again, thank you all. Thank you, Kara May.
Thank you, Tia.
You did a great job.
Oh,
I made it, people. I made it. And you hung with me. So thank you for that. And thank you, Derek, for coming in.
Thanks for having me. You guys are pros.
Awesome.
Very impressed here.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, I feel like this is like a weight off now. I can move forward with the next show because Greg's going to be missing again and do it successfully.
Very good.
So
you got this, lady.
Bok Bok, you got this. You did a wonderful
Bok
job.
Bok Bok, you know, you added a special je ne sais quoi to the studio today.
She doesn't say much, but she has a very strong presence.
She does. Extremely strong presence. We hope you'll come to the Napa Farmers Market on Saturday, seek her out, and take your photo with her and post it on social media.
All right.
Awesome. Well, thanks, everybody. We will see you next time.
Have a great day.
Have a great day.
As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that, too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.